Yes, maybe they are. Good morning. It's good to be with you. I was thinking when they were talking about snack life, it says bakers wanted. If you're me, that's not you, if you know what I mean. I'm not a baker, but there is a store down there that has a bakery section. So if you're not a baker and you think, yeah, I'd like to do something, and just go buy the stuff maybe and give it to Fran. And I know that's good. They do not want to eat while I would bake. All right. So when you leave, grab one of these cards and take it home, stick it on your fridge or tape it to the wall of your ceiling or wherever. I don't know where you want to put them. They're just good things to look at to remind us of some of the stuff we believe. The Apostles' Creed was put together so that people would know what they believe. We live in a time where people don't know what they believe at all. Everything is up for grabs. Your truth is your truth. Your core is your core. Your essential, your essence, being true to your essence is the buzzword of where we live. And people say, well, that's your truth. Well, truth is truth, going in or coming out. It doesn't matter whose it is. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's true, it's true. So that's what the Bible actually says. It will never be politically correct. You cannot make this book politically correct. Why? Because God isn't. Right? He's not. He's bigger than that. He's God. He's not. He's not male. He's not female. That doesn't mean he's gender confused. It means he's God. He's not Protestant. He's not Catholic. He's bigger than that. Our limits that we put on him are so limiting, right? Whatever Augustine said, whatever words that we'd use to describe God fall short of who he is, because he's so far above what we do and what we think and all those things. So when we come to him and we look at him and we try to squeeze him into our societal molds, he won't fit. Right, he just won't. He just won't go in there. He won't squash into my culture. Right, because he's bigger than culture. At the moment, we come across this all the time. I come across it different places I go. The culture trumps everything. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'll give you one example. If in your culture it's okay to honor kill somebody, then culture trumps. No, it doesn't. Do you understand how crazy it is to say that culture trumps everything? It may do if it's a good culture, but there are hundreds of cultures on the earth that aren't good in their basic formation. They're not good. And so God's word comes along and is bigger than all those things. And the word of God and the early church was birthed in an environment that was incredibly hostile towards the things that they believed. And so the apostles, they got together, they wrote the Apostles' Creed, came out a couple of hundred years after they were dead, which is amazing, because it was based on their writings. They didn't sit down and write it, although tradition would say that each of the 12 apostles wrote one of the statements. It's actually not true, but it's a nice tradition, right? It's not true, but it came out of their teachings. It starts, I believe. Rachel's figuring out what she believes. She knows what her mum and dad believes. She's figured out a bunch of stuff about what she believes, but she's going to figure out more, because there's going to come a time when push comes to shove where she has to actually stand on what she believes, and she won't stand on what her mum and dad believe. She may stand on what she believes. And so, sadly, in different parts of the world, today, this weekend, people will be killed for their faith. And you will not die for what your parents believe. But if push comes to shove, you may stand up. I'd like that little girl in Columbine High School, when they came up to her and they put the gun to her head and said, "Do you believe in God?" And she looked at them straight in the eye and she said, "Yes." And they shot her. And you think, and there's a great book. If you want to read a book that'll move your heart about how we should live, read the book, She Said Yes. Because it's written by her parents. And that it's a great book because it doesn't make this girl out to be a glow-in-the-dark human being. It tells the truth about a troubled teenager who had a faith in God. Right? And it's just an incredibly moving book. So we have this, I believe, it's my belief. Why? Why does it matter that it's my belief? Because what I believe in my heart should come out of my mouth. Should come out of my mouth in my actions, should come out in what I say, it should come out how I treat people, it should come out in my taxes, it should come out in having some integrity. Me and Dave were talking about some people doing some work. We're renovating our house, and some of the people that we have working with us are our next door neighbors who are Jehovah's Witness family. They're full of integrity. He said that when he came to do the plumbing, some of the plumbing stuff we're putting in this different system to heat our slab, and so he came to put it in. He phoned me and said, "See, look, my brother's just got diagnosed with cancer, so that's half my team is gone. So I may be a couple of hours late on Thursday morning." That's integrity, right? And he came and I said, "Like, take as long as you want. Like, doesn't matter." But he's keeping his word. Why? Because it's his core belief. It's a core belief that he's going to keep his word. The next words are these in the Apostles' Creed. I believe God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Two statements in one paragraph. God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Why do I care? Why is that important? Why do I care about God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Why do those things go together? Why are they put in that order? Why does that matter to me? God the Father Almighty. Anybody remember these words? In the beginning? Where do you find them?
In the beginning.
Duh. Points win prizes. Okay. So where'd you find them? Those words? In the beginning, where?
In the beginning.
Genesis? 1. And? Where else? John 1. Thank you, Salam. Excellent. Why is it important that they're in both? In the beginning. John starts his letter off, in the beginning. Every single Jewish person reading those words knows that's how the Torah starts. And as they read his in the beginning, and he draws a direct line between the incarnation, Jesus walking on the earth, and the beginning of creation. He draws a line between the two. It's like, doom, doom, goes, puts them together, and people go, oh, why does that matter? Well, because it matters, because what he says next, he says the word becomes flesh. What we believe becomes flesh. Do you understand that? What I believe, my belief system, what is a core value to me is worth nothing until it becomes flesh. Until it starts to involve my flesh, it's just a theory belief. That's all it is. But the word became flesh and walked among men. And when my core beliefs invade my body and move my body to act in a certain way that lines up with my core beliefs, then the Word of God becomes flesh in me. Do you understand that? We have to let the Word of God develop in our lives. We've got to. I believe in God the Father Almighty. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Maker of heaven and earth. You see, we're going to end up in Genesis chapter 3 in a moment. Maker of heaven and earth. Why does that matter? Why does it matter where the earth came from? It's a huge issue. Because of what is taught, what is said to be fact, and what is unprovable. You see, I have a faith. I have a faith, not a fact. Do you understand the difference? I have a faith. I have to look at four options for the origins of all that I can see, touch, think, and imagine. There's only four options. There are no more than that. There's only four. Most people think there's two. There's not. There's four. In the ancient world, it was believed that the cosmos was eternal. It had no beginning and no end. When they wrote these words, and they wrote down, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, you have this thought that says, then are you saying the cosmos had a beginning? Yeah. Yeah, we actually are. And we're saying it has an end. God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. What are the four options? Well, the four options are that, yeah, it was always eternal. It's always been there, always will be, the cosmos. Second option is this, is that the earth in particular was seeded by alien civilizations. Don't mock that one, right? That is the prevailing view among much of the scientific community, that the earth was actually seeded. So it was either always been there, it's been seeded, or it evolved, just random evolution, or it was made. Those are the only four options we have. Every other theory fits into one of those four. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at it, I really don't have faith for the first three. I haven't got enough faith for that. Like, I watch the hummingbirds come up to our feeder and I think, why don't your wings explode? Like, how does a bumblebee actually fly? They can't. Aerodynamically, they can't. And yet they do. Why doesn't snow come down all at once? Could you imagine that? Wouldn't matter. Well, it would cause chaos in the lower mainland. Half an inch of snow falling at once would just shut the whole city down. But can you imagine being up here, 5 feet of snow, you walk along something, whoa! So you've got all this stuff that's obviously designed and made. And I look at it and I think, okay, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Maker of heaven and earth. Well, what does that practically mean for me today in the 21st century living in Pemberton Valley? Flip your Bible open to Genesis chapter 3. Don't panic. Don't worry. We won't be there long. Right? I know your dinner's burning, your stomach's rumbling, your bum's going numb, and I have this theory that your brain can't take in what your bum can't feel. All right? So we'll go very quickly to Genesis chapter 3. This is what it says. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Now, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. Made. Maker of heaven and... made. All right. One day he asked the woman, who he also made. Isn't it great? Thank you, God, and all your staff. Yeah, for all that you made. Just fantastic. One day he asked the woman, now listen to this conversation. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden? Not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden. Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will surely die. We don't have that time to go into the details of what she said and putting words into God's mouth and all that type of stuff. A dangerous thing to do. Serpent said, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. What is the issue here? What's the issue? Being like, it's not about fruit. It's not about trees. Right? Diet's important. We know that. Like, diet's important, but it's not about fruit. It's not about being a tree hugger. It's not about that. It's not that. That's not the issue. Right? It's the issue is this. Do I want to obey God or do I want to be God? That's the issue that's at stake right here in this conversation. And I would put it to you this. That's exactly the issue that we face here in the 21st century. Do I want to obey God? Do I want to put myself under His care and run to him and put myself under his guidance? Do I want to put myself under his instruction? Do I want to allow myself to be cared for the good Father that we sang about? Do I want to do that, or do I want to set myself up in my own kingdom and say, no, I'm the authority, not him? That's the issue here. And that has always been the issue with human beings. Always. Because we believe somewhere in our, in right in the back of our head, it's just like that, no, there's got to be a better rule. I can come up with a better plan. I can do this. When we sang about the reckless love of God, how reckless it seems to look at a cross and think about a crucified God. How reckless that seems. That he, with arms open wide, welcomes every single person that comes to him and allows us to stay in his protection as long as we allow him to be God. It's so important that we understand that. I can't keep taking back my life and saying, yeah, I know you said, but I say. I know you told me, but I think. I know this is what 3,500 years of wisdom put together in 31,000 verses. I understand that, but you don't know me. I can't even make a cup of coffee properly every day. I messed up the coffee. How hard is that to do, to mess up the coffee? Right? I did it. I did it this morning. Went to Miriam and I said to Bim, I said, does that taste weak to you? And she goes, she's honest. She's honest. And she goes, yeah. Well, you could have sugar-coated it a little bit. Said, well, you made the effort, darling. No, she said, no. And so I'm thinking, well, I put exactly the same number of scoops in the coffee press. And so I came up with an idea, and it might be true that the water was thinner today. That's all I can come up with. Why? Because I thought I'd followed all the instructions, but I still screwed it up. So why? Why would I think, if I can't even do that consistently well, why would I think that I have a better plan than God? Why in my human arrogance would I possibly think that I have a better way of sorting this out than God? And the issue is, do you want to be like God, or do you want to be under his care? Do you want to be like him, or do you want to be under his care? And I keep coming back to that every single time I read the Bible. God, where am I? Like that little baby this morning, not baby, toddler, small human female, coming up here this morning, and then she runs back, she goes, da 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 da, and you think, wouldn't it be great? And then she slides off here, smashes her cheek. I freeze. Like, I look at, because I don't do children well, right? Like, give me angry teenagers, you know, and drug dealers with machetes. That's fine. But like children, she folded. Everything in me just freezes. It's like, child hurt, crying. And you bang, and you see her face, and you think, no, I know what's coming. Oh, no, don't. But what does she do? She runs to a place of protection. Why? Unless you're like a little child, you can't have the kingdom of God. That should be in the Bible. Unless you respond to what this world does to you, like a little child responds and runs to a place of protection. And we've all been on this planet long enough that we know that it does stuff to us. That it comes along, it clips our wings, it comes along, it hits us in the gut, it throws things at us, and we can either stand there in our humanistic prides, pump our chests up and say, I can get through this. I am God. Or I can run to a place of protection. I can run to a place of protection and grab hold of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say to him, I believe that you are God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of me. That's who I am. Loved by him, rescued by him, protected by him, given breath, as long as I have breath, by him on the earth that he made. It's his earth. I read something the other day by a great writer, and it said this: there is nothing on this earth that Jesus does not look at and say, that's mine. It belongs to me. Nothing. No, it's all his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I am his. And when I accept my place in that, that's when I truly start to live. And my question to you this morning is, do you want to cling to God or do you want to be God? There's only ever been two applicants for the job of God. God himself and Satan. He wanted to make himself equal to God. Do you want to cling to God or do you want to be God? That's the question I've got to answer. It's the question we all have to answer for ourselves. Stand with me if you will, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you care enough about us to invite us to run to you. We thank you that you care enough about us to warn us about coming danger, just like you did in the garden with the first biblical family that we read about. Father, we thank you that you do give us the choice, and you don't strong arm us into this. But you give us the choice. Do we want to be gods or do we want to cling to God? Father, help us in our human pride, in our human limited understandings, to run to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, to run to you, the person who spoke all planets and stars into being, to run to you, God Almighty, the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will forgive me for the times that I tried to be God. And you'll give me the courage and the strength and the grace that it needs to cling to you as the only true God. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep us safe. Amen. If you're here this morning and you want to chat with somebody, find somebody who's wearing one of the little things. They are safe people to ask to pray for. Yeah, okay? And ask them to pray for you before you leave. Bless you.